Before I start, I'm going to ask God's blessing.
So, Father, we thank you for your presence here this morning. We thank you that we know that we know that we know you honor your word above your name. Amen. And your word declares where two or more are gathered in your name, there are you in our midst. So, Father, we praise you, we honor you, and, Lord, we yield to you. We lay everything at your feet, and Father, we just ask that you have your way, that the words that you use me to speak be the words that's on your heart. So, Father, we just be glorified in the mighty name of Jesus. And they all said,
amen.
So, the title of what I'm going to tell you is God is Faithful. And I'm supposed to tell you this right from get-go. The answer to your question in a Sunday school, when you say, how far is it? How far is it? The question was, how far can somebody go away from the Lord that they can't be reached or they're having to struggle? Well, the answer by the Holy Spirit is, as far as they can't see the hand of somebody else helping them. Now, as a young man growing up, I went through this and I seen this in my mother's life. As long as she was on the earth, nobody in her family, and this is the truth, nobody in her family, her brothers, her sisters, her sister-in-laws, her brother-in-laws, ever needed to have a relationship with Jesus Christ because she did. Now, take the time to think about that. They'd always call her when something was up. Usually something was up that they didn't understand, or they didn't know God's plan in it. Well, I'll tell you what God showed me. When God was done getting the glory from her, he took her. Now, this is what I've learned over the few days I've known the Lord. When God takes someone from your presence, God is sending a message to the rest of his body. It's time to step up. Now, I want to tell you something. God has spent through eternity preparing every one of us that are in here to step up, to be that which he would encourage or be that which he would speak through. You know, Christ in you is the hope, not just your hope, but the hope that goes beyond these seats and beyond your family and beyond your neighborhood. Whether you're in the car or in the grocery or shopping or whatever it is, that hope maintains in you. It never leaves you. This sign back here says Jesus never fails. Well, I'll add to that. Jesus never forsakes us. He never leaves us alone. He's always with us. He's faithful. And need we even think he's faithful when we are not? Anyway, he is. But I want to tell you something that stops us from learning and being faithful to God. In 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, it says, but the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then suddenly destruction come upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Let me stop right there and say this to you. A lot of people's eyes should be focused on God. That's where God would have your eyes focused on. But the troubles of this world seem to get your focus on the troubles of this world. Our God is God. And beside him, there is no other. So when we look at God, he wants us to see what he's doing on this earth. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen?
Amen.
That's how much he loved the world. Now you might not like this, but hello, world. He's talking about you and me. He's talking about the ones that aren't here. He's talking about the world out there that has yet to realize that Jesus is the only way. But the good news is you get to tell them about that way. But listen what it says. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Watch and be sober. What are we watching for? I quote James a lot. Quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Has anybody mastered that scripture yet? We've never offended nobody. We don't intend to offend anybody. And sometimes when we don't intend to say something to somebody, we say it anyway. Quick to hear what the Spirit's saying. Slow to speak what would come out of your emotions. Right? Slow to wrath. Don't do that. Me and my brother used to talk about that a lot. And I said, well, you know, it's about our testimony. What's our testimony show people? You know, how are we? How are we with people? The next scripture I got for you is Romans the 8th chapter. I'm going to read this to you, then I'm going to talk about it just a while. 8th chapter, the very first verse. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are on Christ Jesus, who walk no longer after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, I got to witness God use that scripture. And I got to witness that scripture, that word of God, that truth, set my brother free. When my brother needed this, he was at a place that he had left a church, and the church that he left had condemned him. He had no hope. He thought he'd never walk with God. He thought he wasn't worthy enough. But you know what? Some people don't know that you are the Word of God to other people. Your life is that living Word of God to other people. And going back to the 8th chapter, now there is no condemnation, no judgment to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The Lord told me to give that to my brother for 2 weeks. He lived with me. I give it to him every day for 2 weeks. One day when we went out to get him something to eat, we came home and he's sitting there smiling. He didn't smile a lot. And I said, what is that smile for? And he stood up and he raised his hands. He said, for therefore there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk no longer after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And he goes, I've been set free. My question to you this morning, isn't that what the Word of God's supposed to do? It's not to condemn you, it's to set you free. Amen? So anyway, needless to say, I'm going to tell you, I believe God. And I believe God so much. Ooh. He had me look in the scriptures I had never looked before. Jeremiah, the 29th verse, is what it says, the 11th verse, the 29th chapter, 11th verse. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Ooh, I love that. Expected end. It says, then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. 14th verse. And I will be found. No, it says, and ye shall seek me and shall find me. This is the 13th verse. And when ye shall search me with all your heart. All your heart. Now, I've heard that over the years, and people thought, you know, this means the beginning when you first find the Lord. When you seek him with all your heart, that's when you'll find him. But God started dealing with me yesterday about this scripture. And he wants you to know that scripture's not for one time. God wants you to hear that. That's not for one time. That's for every day. Every day when you seek him with your whole heart, then the troubles of this world won't bother you near as much. It won't get your attention, which God wants your attention. It says, find him with all your heart. And then I got another one here. I love how God, in his word, I find comfort in God's word. Jeremiah 24:7. And I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. For they shall return unto me with their whole heart. Amen? With your whole heart. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, it says, trust the Lord with your whole heart and lead not into your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Now, you know, God didn't let me forget as he was taking care of me after I grew up, started having a job, got married, started having a family. He let me realize every day he took care of me. I'm going to show you how. When I started trusting the Lord according to that scripture, by the way, I got that scripture back when I was in kindergarten, actually first grade, but I got it from Ina McInnish. Some of you that have been with me for a while know Ina McInnish. She was a Sunday school teacher. She gave me a little knife. Yes, she gave me a knife. And on that knife was Proverbs 3, 5, 6. And it said that. It was like she was handing me a treasure. Not a knife, but a treasure. Something that I could take and live with me to this very moment. So after every job, you know, because you feel responsibility with your kids and family and everything, and then all of a sudden they're telling you you're going to get laid off. Well, God, if I'm going to get laid off, you got something better for me. I don't look back. I don't worry. And I don't fret. I trust the Lord. You're going to find out if the more you trust the Lord, the easier it is to trust him. Because you know what? He always shows up for those that trust him. He wants to bless those that are trusting him. Well, anyway, so he gave me another job. I worked it for 3 years. I got about double the money. Back then it wasn't a lot, so I just tell you I doubled it, or he doubled it. Well, then I got another job. Kept it for over 40 years. You know, when you stay a place for 40 years, you think you're home. You think you found the right place. And God kept me there until the day I retired. 40-some years. But he multiplied that salary. Multiply it. Well, you've been there long enough, a lot of people multiply it. But that's just like God's blessing. I want to tell you a secret about God's blessing. Anytime you ask God to bless your food, bless your family, bless your work, bless your neighborhood, whoever it is. Get ready for this. Our God is a God that multiplies. Maybe I need to say that again. Our God is a God that multiplies. He multiplies what you asked him to bless. When he looked up to heaven and he fed 5,000 people, and it was over that because I wasn't counting the children. I believe he asked God to bless the food. And when they passed it out and they collected again, they had just as much as they started with. That's how God multiplies. He's our source of multiplication. And in closing, I want to say this to you. I believe God does all things well. And that which he started in you, he will finish. I had the honor and the privilege to go over and see Jeff Porter the other day, and the Lord, because he was so anxious, you got to realize this is the greatest mind, of course, he's dealing with this mind. This is the greatest mind I've ever known, Jeff Porter's mind. And he's had a stroke, and he's just going through so much. He's anxious, and he's having a hard time waiting. And God told me to give him a word. I said, Jeff, the Lord's given me a word for you. He calmed down. He was wanting to hear what God had given. He said, he that began a good work in you will bring it to finish. He will complete the work in you. It won't be your wife. It won't be your children. It won't be you. It will be him. You know why? Because God wants the glory from his people. He wants the glory from all of you. That's one of the reasons we're here. I'm not going to be like that person said he's getting ready to close and it keeps on going. Anyway, the 91st Psalm. This is a secret here. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. May my God, in him will I trust. Surely he will deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall thy shield shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of terror by night, nor of the arrow that flieth by day, for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thy eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the otter, and the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet, because he has set his love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. I love this last scripture. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Salvation's of the Lord and him only. So I'm going to ask that you bow your heads. Lord, I just ask that you, Lord, answer these words to everyone's heart out here. Give them an open heart that, Father, they would know that they would know that they would know. Father, in Psalm 51, verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God. And renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And renew a right spirit within me. May the God of all creation grant those words to your life and your heart. Be of good cheer, for God has overcome it all. In Jesus' name, be blessed. Amen, amen, amen and amen.